Your daily epidemic response committee update on 95BFM.
Indeed it is, and today we have James Tapp and Lyric Wywoody Smith writing for us. The Epidemic Response Committee today looked into how COVID-19 has impacted those nearing the end of their lives or suffering with serious medical conditions. Strict measures were put in place, resulting in many being unable to see those they love at level 4. At level 3, up to 10 people are now allowed to attend a funeral, and visiting those who are near the end of their lives is considered on a case-by-case basis. We will hear from the Cancer Society, Funeral Directors of New Zealand and Hospice New Zealand. Dr. Chris Jackson, Medical Director of the Cancer Society, begins the committee by bringing attention to the pressure to catch up with missed diagnoses. During the lockdown period, there were 30% fewer cancer diagnoses made as people stayed home and avoided leaving their bubbles to see GPs. Depending on the type of cancer, rates of survival can greatly decrease with every week New Zealand stays in lockdown. Jackson referenced a study from the UK that found that 400 lives could be lost for every 3 months cancer diagnoses are delayed. Jackson shares his concerns over how the health sector will catch up with missed cancer diagnosis. Michael Woodhouse, a National MP, suggests that based on the number of diagnoses made per year in New Zealand, there are likely 1,000 New Zealanders right now living with cancer and have no diagnosis. And Jackson confirms that figure is very likely. Without added capacity, particular screenings and examinations, lives that were supposed to be protected from COVID-19 will instead be lost to cancer. Gary Taylor and David Moger from the Funeral Directors of New Zealand used their platform in the committee to bring focus to the grief experienced by families in recent weeks. Taylor gives an estimate that 2,000 lives were lost during the lockdown and calls on the government to organise a national minute of silence to honour the grieving families and the loved ones they lost. Taylor reiterates multiple times the importance of a healthy grieving process, where families would be allowed to gather around a loved one prior to their death. This practice is particularly important in Te Ao Māori, and so Māori families have suffered greatly. The ability to spend time with loved ones is how Taylor would like to see change as we move into Alert Level 2. Taylor also recognises the funeral directors across New Zealand as being unsung heroes. A revenue loss of 30 to 70% has occurred across the funeral sector as a result of the lockdown. Although funeral directors are classified as an essential service, they don't have access to PPE. Next on the panel is Mary Schumacher of Hospice New Zealand, who support around 20,000 New Zealanders and their families every year. Hospices are an essential health service and have been able to support and care for patients and their families during Alert Level 3. However, some workers have had to utilise technology to organise virtual appointments. Hospices have also been actively working with other organisations across the health sector. Funding for Hospice New Zealand is partially backed by the government. However, most of their cash flow comes from charity donations and revenue from retail hospice shops across the nation. Last year, hospice shops made $49 million. Due to lockdown regulations, hospice shops have had to suspend their practices, leaving a number of shop owners having to dig into their reserves despite support from the government wage subsidy. Hospices could lose $19 million. From here on, we have heard from those across the country that have had to deal with situations with pregnancy and cancer treatment where care and communication has not been clear. We first heard from first-time mother Rebecca Burgess, who had a traumatic birth due to the denial of support, with two midwives pulling out of home birth and the denial of having her sole supporter, her husband, with her in hospital. Rebecca raised concerns about the inconsistency around DHBs, with some allowing no admittance of support while others allowing for support up to 48 hours after birth, which does align with World Health Organization guidelines that state a right to support. This lack of support also extended into postnatal care, where she was criticised for not having nappies or clothing with her. We then heard from Jennifer Rowles, a breast cancer patient in Whangarei who had to travel to Auckland for private consultation, using limited personal savings to fund her treatment as she is now on the pension. Jennifer highlighted the lack of access to healthcare, with the hormone treatment she was given in Whangarei then considered inappropriate, with no given date on when she would be given surgery, which was considered elective. Next was Bjorn Reimer, who was to be a father, was not allowed to enter with his wife, who was then told she was to have a second miscarriage. He voiced he was unsure why two people within the same bubble were not allowed to both enter the hospital. Bjorn raised similar concerns to Rebecca, where the support being provided in these important life situations with a lack of support will have an effect for the months and years to come for those in these situations. Currently, Director General of Health, Dr. Ashley Bloomfield, is being questioned by the committee on the response now and what restrictions are going to be looking like in the future. But that is all that we have time for in these notes today. Thank you to James Tapp and Lyric Waiwode-Smith for those. Tomorrow, the committee will hear from a range of sporting organisations, including Netball New Zealand, the New Zealand Rugby Players Association and the Exercise Association of New Zealand, which represents gyms. The Chief Executive of the Warriors, Cameron George, will also appear.
That was your EDC update on 95BFM.